Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
You know, one of the blessings of what I get to do for a living and what we all get to do for a living is that people tend to talk to us. Whenever I'm out in the community, people find out what I do for a living. Some people, their guards go up, but most people, their guard goes down. They tend to talk more. And so over the last few, really, months, but really over the last few weeks, I found myself having lots of conversations with people that attend our church, people that don't attend our church, conversations with men and women, young and old, some people with kids, people without kids. I've had conversations with teenagers, all the way to conversations with 75-year-olds. And the conversations always tend to take a bit of the same pattern. They kind of go the same way. You'll kind of have some small talk, and then eventually I'll say, okay, how you doing? And, you know, they say, oh, I'm fine. I say, no, really. How you doing? And inevitably, almost every single person says some version of the same thing. Here's what they say. I'm doing okay. I'm not good. Not as good as I was. Not really bad. I'm doing okay. And typically, I kind of smile and I say, hey, you know what? Right now, okay is great. If you're doing okay, you're probably doing better than most people. And as we continue to talk, these are the things I've noticed I hear when I kind of press into, what does that mean to say you're okay? I hear people say, you know, I'm just more tired than I used to be. I lack motivation that I used to have. I've had people share with me, you know, I've never really struggled with anxiety. I've never been anxious, but I'm finding myself feeling anxious over situations and over things. I've had people share that their emotions are raw. Their emotions are ragged, meaning that things that normally would have just rolled right off their back, they find themselves either bursting into tears, losing their temper, or somewhere in the middle. In just about every conversation I've had with people over the last few weeks and months, I'm hearing people say some version of, life is harder than it used to be. And they don't really know why, but they just know that life is harder. Parenting is harder. Going to work is harder. Having relationships is harder. Things are more difficult. And when you step back, it makes sense, right? We're all in the middle of something that we've never gone through before. We are in the middle of a global health crisis, a global pandemic. And so we've all made changes. We've all done things that we've never done before because that's what you do when there's a physical health crisis. We spring into action. We do things. We understand how to do this. If we break our leg, we take a step. We go to the hospital. We go to the ER. We get it fixed. If we wake up in the middle of the night and our child has a 104 fever and they can barely breathe, we know what to do. We take a step. We go see the doctor. We go to the ER. Several years ago, Danielle and I experienced this ourselves. Our middle son, Jonathan, used to have a very severe peanut allergy. And one night, he accidentally ate some Reese's Pieces. He thought they were Skittles. That was a physical health crisis. So we immediately got up. We took him to the ER because that's what we do when we're in the middle of a physical health crisis. And that's what we've all been experiencing now for the past few weeks and months. And we know this, and it's not a surprise to say this, and you're probably sick of talking about COVID, and I'm sick of talking about COVID. But as I've been reflecting over the conversations I've had over the last few weeks, and I've been really asking God where he wanted to take our church this fall, I'm convinced that he wants us to talk about another health crisis, a potential health crisis. But it's one that we tend to dismiss. It's one we tend to ignore. It's one we tend to not want to talk about. But I am convinced that the ramifications of ignoring this health crisis could end up being more detrimental to us than even ignoring COVID. So that's why today, as your church, we are beginning a brand new series that we're calling Headspace. And in this series, we're going to talk about a topic you've probably never heard discussed in church before, but I am convinced it is crucial for us to understand and thrive in this season. And this is what I'm talking about. Mental health. Yes, I'm going to sit down for this because you probably need to sit down as well. Because again, when you mention mental health, people get afraid. People get leery. People don't want to talk about mental health. There is a stigma around it. And that's honestly one of the reasons we're doing this series. One of the reasons we're doing this series is because we want to help remove the stigma around mental health. We want to talk about what it is. We want to talk about how it works and specifically what God has to say about it. So before we dive into any part of this series, I kind of want to just step back and say, okay, how are we defining mental health? What does that mean? And here's how we define mental health when we're talking about it. Mental health is simply our ability to function effectively in daily life. When we are mentally healthy, we can function effectively in daily life. And there are really four different categories you break that down into. Number one, we can have productive activities. We can be productive at home. We can be productive at work. We can be productive in our communities. After that, we can also experience fulfilling relationships. When we are mentally healthy, it is possible for us to have healthy, fulfilling relationships in our life. You're going to love the next one. When we are mentally healthy, we are able to adapt to change, something we have all been doing for the last 6 months, and we're sick of it. But mentally healthy people can adapt to change. And number four, mentally healthy people can cope with adversity. And so when we talk about mental health, this is what we're talking about, the ability to do these things, the ability to function effectively in daily life. And so when something hinders our ability to function healthily in daily life, it means that we are unhealthy. And Wellspring, I'll tell you, I'm convinced right now, because of all that's been going on with the pandemic, and all that, that our country is probably as mentally unhealthy as it's ever been. And so this is a topic that is incredibly important for us to talk about. Let's look at this list again. Think about it. Let's be honest for a second. Again, nobody's watching. We're not raising our hands. But have we not found it more difficult to be productive in this season? Have we not maybe found some relationships more straining than they used to be? More difficult to have fulfilling relationships? Have we not experienced that we've had some problems adapting to change? That we can't just switch into the gear? We're afraid of change. It causes all this anxiety in us. And have we not found that it might be a little more difficult to cope with adversity than normal? Of course, we all have. We've all experienced that in this season, which means we're not as healthy as we used to be. Now, there is a word that we use when we are not as healthy as we used to be. And that word is this: illness. And here's how we define illness. Illness is an unhealthy condition of body or mind. That's what illness means. And we talk about this all the time when we talk about physical illness. Everyone knows about physical illness. They can be mild. They can be severe. Sometimes the prescription for a physical illness is rest. Sometimes the prescription for a physical illness is surgery. They run the gamut. Physical illness is something we talk about. It's something we share with other people. It's open. It's easy to discuss because there's no stigma around talking about physical illness. But remember, illness is simply being unhealthy. So you know where I'm going. If we find ourselves now in a period of time where our mental health isn't as healthy as it was, where our mental health is less, where we are mentally unhealthy, what we're talking about is mental illness. And I can hear you. I see it in your faces right now. Whoa, 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 whoa. I'm a little overwhelmed. I got a little anxiety. I'm a little sad. Doesn't mean I have mental illness. See, there's a stigma around that word, but why? Why is there a stigma around the descriptor of mental illness? There's no stigma around the descriptor of physical illness. All illness means is that we aren't healthy. There's no stigma around physical illness of having a heart attack. There's no stigma around physical illness of getting strep throat. There's no stigma around the physical illness of having an infection. There's no stigma around a physical illness of having a cut. But because we currently live in a time where there is this stigma around talking about mental illness, what happens is mild mental illnesses go untreated. They go uncured. And that is when they can become significant, serious, long-lasting mental illnesses. And the reason we're doing this series is because as your church, we do not think that is acceptable. We believe that talking about mental illnesses should be as easy and as common as talking about physical illnesses. We believe asking for prayer over a doctor's visit or prayer over a surgery, which we love to do, we believe it should be just as common to ask for prayer for your counseling appointment or to ask for prayer for the vacation you're about to take because you're hoping to gain some rest so that you can get some mental health back into your life. As your church, we want to make this part of the conversation. Because here's what we know. Mental illness is incredibly common. It's more common than you even know. Let's check this out. Mental illness. Did you know that 1 in 5 adults will experience it in some form every single year? Now, the vast majority of those cases will be incredibly mild. They will be incredibly treatable. And the people will be 100% cured. In addition to that, 1 in 24 adults has what we would label a serious mental illness. Now, these are mental illnesses that might require longer-term treatment. They might require medication of some kind. But again, even in these situations, those people are able to find fulfilling, healthy, functional lives. But because there's a stigma around the topic, so many people aren't willing to take a step. They aren't willing to reach out. They aren't willing to get the help they need. And that is why we are talking about this series. Because here's what we know. Mental health issues do not discriminate. Mental health issues attack all genders, attack all races. It comes at all socioeconomic strata. It is an incredibly common thing. It's important to point out, as we're talking about mental health issues, not all changes in mood are mental health issues. If you experience a loss, it is incredibly common to feel sad. It is incredibly common in the grieving process to even be depressed for a season. That is not in any way a mental health issue. If you have a really big test coming up, if you have a big presentation at work, if you have something on you, it is incredibly common to feel anxiety. Those are normal, common things. Where they become issues is when they become lingering. It's when they become long-lasting. It's when they begin to interfere with your ability to function effectively in daily life. As we've said, mental illnesses take many, many forms. Many are mild and simply might require a walk and some rest. Other mental illnesses are so severe that they require long-term medication and treatment. But it's exactly the same as physical illnesses, but we don't talk about it that way. Now, I know you're watching at home, you're in the room, you may be wondering, okay, this is all great. Why are we talking about this at church? Like, what exactly does church have to do with this? And it's a great question, and I'm glad you asked it, because, see, I'm convinced that mental health matters to God. And the reason I believe mental health matters to God is because when his son was on earth, Jesus, when he was here for his 3-year ministry, when he taught, when he preached, he was constantly talking about mental health. He was constantly talking about our emotions. He was constantly talking about our thoughts. He was constantly talking about our minds. He was constantly talking about the ability to make sound decisions. He was constantly talking about how we function in daily life. And what he says over and over and over and over again is, I have come to give you the best version of that possible. And that's not possible without being mentally healthy. So what I want to do is I want to take us very quickly to a passage. It's one of Jesus' most famous passages, one of the most famous things he ever said. And I am convinced that this passage is talking about mental health. Now, this passage is found in the book of John. John was an eyewitness to Jesus' ministry, and he wrote down what he heard Jesus say. And in this teaching, Jesus is talking to his followers, and as Jesus often does, he's using an illustration. And he is using the illustration of a shepherd. Jesus often called himself the good shepherd because many of the people Jesus were talking to were shepherds. Or they either had a brother that was a shepherd or a cousin that was a shepherd. They knew shepherds. And Jesus was always saying, I'm the good shepherd. I am here to take care of you. I'm here to protect you. And so in this passage, what Jesus is doing is Jesus is talking about he is the good shepherd. He's here to protect you. And he brings in another character, and he calls the character the thief. And he puts at odds his approach to humanity with the thief's approach to humanity. And here's what Jesus says. He says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But he says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Now, the thief that Jesus is talking about here is Satan. It's the devil. I know nobody likes to talk about him, but he's incredibly real. He was a fallen angel, and he made it his goal to thwart God's plan with humanity. And so through Satan, what Satan did, maybe you know the story. At the very beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, he created Adam and Eve, put them in this amazing place called the Garden of Eden. And God intended for our relationship with him to be perfect. He intended for us and him to perfectly communicate, to live in perfection. And Satan wanted to thwart that. He wanted to steal that gift from us, as the text said, by injecting something into the world. And what he injected into the world was sin. See, when he convinced Adam and Eve to distrust God, sin followed him. And what we Christians call that moment is the fall. And the reason we call it the fall is because not only did Adam and Eve sin, but because of that, sin came into the world and broke what God had created. If you ever heard Christians talking about we live in a broken world, we just live in a broken world, that's what they're talking about. They're talking about the fact that we live in a world that God never intended us to live in. Did you know that God never intended for us to experience guilt? God never never intended for us to experience shame. God never intended for us to experience pain of any kind. God never intended for us to experience loss. God never intended for us to get sick. God never intended for us to experience disease. God never intended for us to experience death. But when sin came into the world, that curse came with it, is what we believe, and things broke. Our bodies broke. Disease came alive in the world. And it's into that moment Jesus says, hey, the thief, he came to kill and to steal and destroy. And Jesus says, I've come that you may have life to the fullest. And I know you're wondering, okay, so again, what does this have to do with mental health? Well, let's go back to our definition of mental health. How do we define mental health? Mental health is our ability to function effectively in daily life. Mental health is our ability to have productive activities, our ability to have fulfilling relationships, our ability to adapt to change, our ability to cope with adversity, right? All things that we can all say, man, life is better when we can do those things. See, when I look at this description, when I look at the promise of mental health is to be able to function effectively in daily life, you know what I see? I see Jesus' words. I define mental health as life to the fullest. See, that's what Jesus came to offer. He came to give us life to the fullest. But he comes into a world that has been attacked by a thief. That is why this matters to God. Because when sin came into the world, when the thief came into the world, the things he broke are the very things that have the most impact on our ability to live mentally healthy lives. He perfectly attacked and broke the very things that cause issues in us. So what I want to do is I want to walk through very quickly the three biggest factors, the three biggest contributors to our mental health. And I want to show you how Satan and sin has broken all three of those things. And I want to show you how through Jesus and professional help, we can find a path to better. So, number one, what is the number one factor in our mental health, in our ability to be healthy or not healthy? Something completely out of our control. It's our genetics. It's how we are born. It's how we are wired. And again, because of sin, when sin came into the world, our genetics were broken. Our genes were broken. Again, God never intended us for us to experience disease. God never intended us to be born with birth defects. God never intended for us to be born with genetic disorders. But sin brought those things into the world. God intended us to have perfect bodies, which is why, if you know how this whole thing ends, those of us that call ourselves Christians, when we return to heaven and when we spend eternity with God, what's he going to give us? New bodies. Perfect bodies. Unbroken bodies. Bodies with no sickness, bodies with no disease, bodies with no illness, mind or soul. That is what is promised. But here and now we live in a world that has been broken by sin. We live in a world where a thief is trying to steal from us. He's trying to kill and devour us. And he's trying to destroy us. And the number one way that happens is through our genetics. It's through our genes. It's how we are born. Now, this is one of those areas where physical illness and mental illness seem to completely diverge. Because we can talk all day about people who are born predisposed to a certain heart condition. We can talk about people who are predisposed to diabetes, people who are predisposed to certain things, and there's absolutely no stigma whatsoever. But what we miss is there are equally the number of people who are born predisposed to medical chemical imbalances that they had nothing to do with. They have no control over whatsoever, and those chemical problems require chemical solutions. And to me, I still see Jesus in this. I see him bringing life in this, where the thief thought he was robbing from us, Jesus, through his grace and through prayer and through community, but also through injecting wisdom into our world, giving people the ability to better understand the way our bodies and our brain works, giving people the ability to better understand how the chemical composition of our brain. He has given people who are born with a genetic predisposition towards certain mental illnesses because of sin, not their sin, but again, because of the fall, because of the sin of the world, he's given them a path to better. He's given them a path to a fuller, better life. And so please hear me. There is absolutely no reason to feel shame over something Satan caused. You didn't cause it. We didn't cause it. Satan did. The thief did. And we have a Savior who came into the world to rescue us and to push us towards better. So there should be absolutely no stigma around any sort of chemical imbalance or any sort of genetic predisposition towards mental illness. We should celebrate and be thankful for our Savior that he's given us a path to better. But that's not the only thing Satan broke. It's not the only thing sin broke, and it's not the only thing that affects our mental health. It starts with genetics. It starts with how we are wired. But next, we talk about our environment. These are the things that happen to us. These are the things that happen in our life. For many, many people, the root of their mental health struggles, the root of my mental health struggles, the root of all of our mental health struggles, it may be genetics, but for many people, it's something that happened to us. It's a trauma. It's grief over a loss. It's painful experiences that lead to shame, painful experiences that lead to depression, painful experiences that can lead to suicidal thoughts, painful experiences that can make it nearly impossible for us to have healthy, fulfilling relationships. Again, this pain, the root of this pain is sin. And the author of sin is Satan. And he is a thief. And he wants to steal and kill and destroy. But we have a Savior who has come to give life, who has come to give us life to the fullest. And so that means through prayer, through community, and yes, through professional help when necessary, we can get better. We can overcome the environmental attacks we've experienced. Think of it like this. If someone were to stab me in my side, stab me with a knife, that would be a physical wound. I would go to the hospital. I would get that wound treated. I would then go see a doctor to make sure I wasn't infected. If there was any follow-up from that physician, I would continue to go back and continue to go back and continue to go back until I was healed, because that's what we do with physical wounds. See, what I hope we can learn today is emotional wounds work exactly the same way. Emotional wounds are just as painful, they are just as severe, and they can have just as many long-term implications. And so there again, there should be absolutely no stigma or no second thoughts or any sort of hesitation over seeking professional help for emotional wounds that we are finding are making it more difficult for us to function effectively in daily life. Again, sin broke it. Jesus says, come to me. I can help fix it, and you can experience life to the fullest. So we've talked about environment. We've talked about genetics. There's one more factor that greatly weighs on our mental health, and it's this. It's choices. It's the choices that we make. And again, Satan plays a tremendous role in this as well. He is constantly trying to tempt us, constantly trying to lure us into new sins, trying to lure us into new problems, trying to lure us into new pain. And I sin, you've sinned, we've all sinned, we all sin every day. We fall short. We fall prey to those things. And here's what Satan does when we are the ones who caused the pain. He turns it around and he blames us for it. He says it's absolutely 100% our fault. And so then guilt comes and then shame comes. But Wellspring, listen to me, because I need to make this really clear. A self-inflicted wound is just as painful as a wound someone else created. And it requires the same approach to heal it. But see, what Satan wants to do is he wants to tell us we deserve the pain of the self-inflicted wound. We deserve the shame. We brought it on ourselves because he's a thief and he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And it is ended that moment Jesus said, nope, I gave my life for you so that you could know not only are you forgiven, but that you do not deserve the punishment for your mistakes. You don't have to endure those in yourself. I took them for you. Through me, you can find forgiveness. You can find freedom. You can find new hope. You can find new life. You can live it to the full. Because that is why he came. Yes, the thief came to steal and kill and destroy. And he attacked us on three levels. He attacked us on our genetics. He attacks us in our environment. And he attacks us in our choices. Because he wants to rob us. And Jesus says, but I came to give you life to the fullest. That life is what he promises here and now. So, I know, thrown a lot at you. We've covered a lot of content today because honestly, my goal was to just sort of get us all comfortable talking about this topic. And don't worry if you miss part of what we're going to talk about, because we're going to spend the next month talking about this. And we're going to go back over all this stuff, and we're going to dive in. We're going to have experts come in and talk about it. But again, the key today was to get us all in a place where we could begin to examine our lives and say, you know what? It has been more difficult to just function lately. It has been more difficult to be productive. It has been more difficult to navigate those relationships. It has been more difficult to sort of adapt to that, all this change. It's been more difficult to you know, sort of cope with adversity. It's been more difficult, and I've just been blaming myself, and I thought I was doing something wrong, or I've blamed other people, or I've blamed the circumstances, or I've blamed COVID, and I've just blamed all those things, but I didn't really know what to do. So if that's you today, please, you are not alone. We understand. And you need to understand the root cause of all of that is a thief. And he came to steal and to kill and destroy. The thief did it. It's not your fault. that you feel the way you do. It's not your fault that you're struggling. It's not your fault that things are more difficult than they used to be. It's not your fault that you're not okay. In fact, here's what I would say today. I want you to know, it's okay to not be okay. It's okay. We live in a fallen, broken world with an enemy who is at work 24/7, 365 to steal from us, to devour us, and to destroy us. Of course, we're not okay. It's okay to not be okay. But we have a Savior who came to set us free, who came to free us from the thief, and who came to propel us to a better life, life to the fullest. And so what I want you to hear today is, while it's okay to not be okay, you're not broken, you're not discarded, it's not a defect in you that is your problem to solve. That's not the way it works. It's okay to not be okay. But what Jesus would say is this: it's not okay to stay that way. Now again, that's not to put pressure on you. That's not to say you have to do more. That's to remind you that there's a Savior who wants to set you free. And to stay in the struggle, to stay in the pain, to stay isolated, to stay within yourself, to allow the stigma, to allow the shame of the hurt, to allow all that to keep you from stepping out to get help, to move forward, you are allowing yourself to live within the clutches of a thief. And our Savior says, no, 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 no. I want so much better for you than that. And so today, if right now you can say, you know what, I could use a conversation. Yeah, I would love to talk about this. I would love to figure out how to take a step. You could reach out to us, and I'll tell you how in just a minute. But here's what I know. For most of us, we're going to need a week. We're going to need a week to process this. We're going to need a week to try to really wrap our brains around mental health issues. And so my challenge for you this week is just to simply ask God to open your eyes this week. Open your eyes to the areas where life might be more difficult than it used to be. And ask Him to begin to show you why. And if it's something you know about, if you know you're finding yourself tired because you're staying up before 4 a.m. every night, get more sleep. You know, if you're finding yourself continually anxious, but it's because, you know, you check the COVID stats every 3 hours every day and you're tracking all that, maybe you just need to turn the news off. Trust your Heavenly Father. Or maybe you'll see, you know what? Yeah, there's some stuff that's happened to me. There's some choices I've made. And, there's some stuff that runs in my family. But you know what? It might not be bad to have a conversation, because it's starting to affect my relationship. It's starting to affect my life. And I would love to see what that full life God offers looks like. So my challenge is for you to observe this week and ask God to speak. But if you are ready to have a conversation, you can reach out to us right now. You can email us at care@wellspringchurch.tv. You can drop by this Tuesday for Drop-In Tuesdays to have a conversation. If you're on one of our serving teams, you can reach out to your serving leader and have a conversation. If you're a student, you can reach out to your tribe leader. If you're in a small group, you can talk to someone in your small group. You can reach out. You can have a conversation, and you can be the beginning of a process of our church transforming to a place where there's absolutely no stigma around the topic of mental health. Because that's our goal. And that's who we believe God wants us to be. So my prayer today is that we can all accept this idea that mental health and physical health, equal footing, equal to talk about, equally severe, and they should be equally shared in the people of faith. Because as your church, we know that Jesus came not only to set us free from sin, but to walk us into a life that is as full as it can possibly be. we believe that is a life where we are as mentally healthy as we can be as well. So observe this week and join us next week as we learn the next step we can all take to invite Jesus in to this incredibly significant moment in our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just love you so much. Father, we're just so thankful for your Son, and we're so thankful that he speaks so directly to so many areas of our life. God, I pray today that as we begin to talk about this topic, as we begin to open the doors to all the ways mental health affects our lives, Father, may you give us freedom. Freedom from the shame that comes from talking about it. Freedom from the stigma of having conversations and admitting maybe we need help, Father. May you give us that freedom today. May you open our eyes to others that need help. May you give us compassion. May you give us understanding. And Father, most of all, may you continue your work of setting us free from the clutches of a thief. We thank you for your Son. We thank you that he came to rescue us. And we thank you that he can lead us to life to the fullest. We love you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.